Welcome to another episode of Nashville Anthems, dissecting 80s and 90s country music. I'm your host, Melton McMainerberry, and many thanks to Victoria Station for playing us in today. On Nashville Anthems, our top priority is to answer the call of 80s and 90s country music to get to the bottom of exactly what it is that makes this era and genre particularly work. And we do that through close examination of the songs played on satellite radio's 80s and 90s country station, one at a time. Today, we get our first earful from Canadian singer-songwriter Terry Clark and her 1995 debut hit, Better Things to Do. Remember that one? Well, if not, and if you haven't listened already, why don't you pause me now and give Better Things to Do a close listen or two. And now, let's get into it. We'll start, as we always do, by giving credit where credit is due, courtesy of my friends and yours, Wikipedia and Billboard. Better Things to Do was written by Terry Clark herself, along with one of the song's producers, Chris Waters, and well-known Nashville songwriter Tom Shapiro, a name we previously encountered as a producer on Billy the Kid. The other credited producer on Better Things to Do, by the way, was another name that we've encountered before on both of our Alan Jackson episodes, as well as with On the Other Hand, it's Keith Steele. So, as we said, Better Things to Do was Terry Clark's debut single, coming out in the summer of 1995, then later appearing as the opening track of her self-titled debut album, and making it to number 3 on the Billboard Country Chart, beaten out by... You ready? Number 2 was Black Hawk with I'm Not Strong Enough to Say No. And number 1 that week, it was Garth, She's Every Woman, from the Fresh Horses album we mentioned in the Long Neck Bottle episode. Alright, well, that's some background. Now let's get into the song itself and find out at least what I'm hearing in Better Things to Do that makes this song what it is. Let's do it the opposite of how we normally do. I want to start with the lyrics this time. We're going to walk through some of what this song says because I think this is a set of lyrics that really rewards close examination. Alright, now what do I mean by that? Well, you may remember we actually spent the whole episode on David Frizzell's I'm Gonna Hire a Wino to Decorate Her Home, asking the question of tone, because, for better or for worse, I argued that the tone of that song is not completely clear. So, is something similar going on here? Let's take a look. Let's start with the chorus. This is where Clark lists off all the things she'd rather do than reconnect with her ex. Here they are. She'd rather wash her car in the rain, change her new guitar strings. I could wash my car. And mow the yard just the same as she did yesterday. Mow the yard just the same as I did yesterday. Then, in the Jason Marsden appreciated lyrical change-up on the last chorus, she adds a few other things. She could check the air in her tires. Check the air in my tires. And this one's my favorite. Straighten my stereo wires. That's great. Count the stars in the sky. Count the stars in the sky. And let's hold off on that last one just for a moment. Now, at least part of the point here is that these are mundane things, right? I mean, in other words, this guy is such an unattractive prospect to her that basically anything is better, no matter how pointless. But hold on. That's just it. They are pointless. Actually, they're even beyond pointless. They're futile. These aren't just ways to pass the time idly. Maybe with one exception, they are total wastes of time. Let's look at them again. I could wash my car in the rain. So she's not just washing her car, she's washing it in the rain. I guess kind of theoretically that works, but practically, the rain's just going to wash your sponge and everything else before the soap has a chance to do anything. It's not going to work. It's futile. Change my new guitar strings. Okay, she's changing her guitar strings, a fine thing to do if they need changing. But they don't. Terry Clark goes out of her way to tell us that these are new guitar strings, and the word old would have worked just fine. She's changing the very guitar strings that definitely don't need changing. Certainly pointless, but even, you know, what is she chasing that she thinks another set of guitar strings is going to change? The activity has chasing her tail written all over it. The same thing with the yard. She goes out of her way to tell us that she's mowing the yard that she just mowed. Mow the yard just the same as I did yesterday. What's she trying to accomplish? And when that thing doesn't happen, is she going to turn around and mow the yard again tomorrow? Then, in the last chorus, this may be the exception. Check the air in Checking the air in her tires, as any dad will tell us, is a good thing to do. But you know, even that can be kind of a tail-chasing activity, right? Trying to get that stupid TPMS warning light to go off. Which tire is low? They're all fine. Straighten my stereo wires. Man, that's funny. You ever tried to do this, by the way? The reference is a little dated. Make it a laptop with peripheral cables if you want. The effect is the same. Those stupid cords, A, don't want to be straight, and B, always manage to get re-entangled about 5 minutes after you disentangle them anyway. So it's funny, and it's funny because it's a super random thing to think about doing. Like her stereo wires just happened to be in eyeshot when she was considering answering her ex's call. But again, it's futile. It's just not going to work. And finally, count the stars in the sky. Counting the stars in the sky, a task that is straight up Old Testament in its impossibility. So do you hear what I'm hearing? There's another layer here. If you're not quite ready to call these activities futile, you have to admit they're pointless. Again, not just mundane, but actually specifically not a good use of time, except checking the air in the tires. The new guitar strings, I mean, that just can't be denied. Terry Clark went out of her way to tell us that she was changing strings that she just changed, when nothing about the poetic structure required her to do that. So, what is the tone here? Is Clark so over this guy that even the most pointless activities she can think of are a better use of her time than talking to him? Certainly possible to read it that way, right? Or is she looking for things to do, no matter how useless, even futile they are, just to pass the time? In other words, she actually is tempted to talk to this guy, so she's grasping at any possible distraction she can come up with in order to resist that temptation. Well, let's look at how other elements of the song might help us answer that question. You ready? Let's do it. Because the song has a certain mid-90s kind of feminist attitude. There's a bit of the angry 90s female singer-songwriter in this song. Shout out, by the way, to the Propaniacs episode on the King of the Hill episode, Peggy's Turtle Song, where we talked about this phenomenon. Man, I miss doing that podcast. Talk about how we use our time. If I had time, I'd totally pick that one back up. But I digress. The angry female singer-songwriter phenomenon of the mid to late 90s. The Lilith Fair Music Festival. Artists like Alanis Morissette, Liz Phair, which sounds a lot like the aforementioned festival, which always tripped me up. Meredith Brooks, throw Fiona Apple in there. That era. You remember that, don't you? I know you do. By the way, not that there's anything wrong with all that. Alanis Morissette is responsible for one of my favorite songs and favorite albums of all time. And I never tire of listening to any Fiona Apple record. They're all great. But anyway, I do think Terry Clark is tapping into some of that here. There's something about her delivery. It has a certain sass and assertive quality that may give the lie to my idea that the song may have a hidden, less self-assured overtone. Don't tell me the reason that you're calling. It's to see if I'm all right since you've been gone. You can see this in the video too if you go back and watch it. I mean, Terry Clark is a big voice, right? It's really different than fellow Canadian and contemporary singer-songwriter Shania Twain, which, as we talked about at length in the From This Moment On episode, skewed more 80s diva. I give my hand to you with all my heart. This isn't diva. This isn't sung in a ball gown. This is sung in blue jeans. It's much earthier than Shania Twain, less elegant and sublime and more brash and in your face. That's right, I got better things to do. In terms of vocal timbre, I do think I hear some Patti Loveless influence here. We talked about Loveless's hard-to-define rich vocal timbre in the How Can I Help You Say Goodbye episode. Listen to a little bit of her next to Terry Clark and see if you agree. Bought a ticket to Seattle, but I can't get to the plane. Every time I leave you, I keep running out of change. And Patti Loveless absolutely could have that attitude in her voice that I'm talking about, although she's quite versatile and can also be super vulnerable. Again, see How Can I Help You Say Goodbye for all the evidence you need on the latter. Terry Clark, on the other hand, and see, this is where I want to be careful not to overplay the attitude thing, because this being her debut single, how much of her later catalog am I reading back into this song? Especially songs like Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me and Girls Like Two. Oh, poor, pitiful me.
Hmm.
But she definitely displays her big voice in this song, again, with less 90s diva than 90s angry feminist. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You especially hear this in the song's climax, the line in the chorus that we skipped over earlier.
Or just get on with my life.
And there's less tonal ambiguity there, right? She's pretty explicit that whatever these activities are, they are part and parcel of her empowered determination to move on. And that leads us back to the song's lyrics. Let's go back to those and tackle the verses this time. Now, the first verse is mostly calling this guy out on his reason for calling her.
Don't tell me the reason that you're calling. It's to see if I'm all right since you've been gone.
Pretty empowered, honest, in-your-face stuff, right? Enough to make even fellow Canadian Alanis Morissette proud.
'Cause I know you.
And the verse ends with a small concession that she did struggle for a couple of days there, but that admission arguably only reinforces the truth of her actually being over him at this point.
Well, maybe that was true for a night or two, but now I've got better things to do.
But the second verse, yeah, I don't know. I still think it may have some of that "the lady doth protest too much" thing. Notice how it starts.
Maybe when I don't have so much going, or quite so many irons in the fire.
Are you buying the irons in the fire thing? What irons in the fire? Like, tire checking? Or is she saying that compared to him, these lightweight irons are pretty darn compelling? I mean, she's at least saying that, but is she overplaying that hand a bit?
I'll take the time to miss you like you're hoping, but now I can't put forth the effort it requires.
The second verse has another funny line, by the way.
Well, I'd love to talk to you, but then I'd miss Donahue.
That's Phil Donahue, kids. Popular daytime talk show host in the 90s. Look it up. But in terms of attitude, there's more than lyrics going on here. A lot of the song's overall attitude comes from one of our best friends on Nashville Anthems, blues. Did you catch that the first 12 bars of the verses of Better Things to Do are, in fact, 12-bar blues? Did you? Check it out. The song is in B-flat. That's two in a row in B-flat, by the way, after I noted in the last episode that it was the only major key that we hadn't had. So in B-flat, the one chord is, of course, B-flat. The four chord is E-flat, and the five chord is F. And by now you can probably rattle off the 12-bar blues chordal structure as well as I can. So let me just call it out over the first verse. That's the B-flat chord, the one chord. Four bars of that. Up to the four chord, E-flat. Then back to one. Then the five chord, that's F. And back to one again. 12-bar blues, not too shabby, huh? It breaks form after that, but sure enough, 12-bar blues is absolutely hiding in this verse. And you know, we've talked a lot about the blues because it's all over the era and genre that we're exploring here, and it's a rich concept that can sometimes convey even contradictory ideas. While blues can convey sadness, it can also be brash and energetic. It can be ain't going down till the sun comes up. The common element there being darkness, assertion, even a forcefulness in whatever emotion is being conveyed. And that whole idea marries well with the powerful, angry 90s thing that Terry Clark has going for her in this song. What other aspects of the blues can we see in Better Things to Do? Because there are plenty. So blue notes and, if you will, blue chords show up in this song. And we saw some of the idea of blue chords in the Judds' Girls' Night Out, another anthem of female empowerment. It was the idea of using out-of-key chords to bring some extra harmonic punch to a song. Especially when that chord is a flat 7 chord, like it is in Better Things to Do. I'm talking about A-flat chords. That's a whole step lower than the tonic chord, B-flat. And it's out of key because the note A-flat is out of key in B-flat major. But only barely. It's low-hanging fruit when it comes to key-defying blue notes, and the idea of doing the A-flat, not just as a note, but as a chord, definitely adds weight to the bluesy attitude it conveys. Let's listen to a couple of examples.
For a night or two. now I got better things to do.
That's the end of the verse, really the end of the pre-chorus, this chord. Notice where it lands lyrically. It's right after that small concession I mentioned, just when the momentum of the song reverses, providing a little extra punch to reinforce the truth of Terry Clark's face-slapping put-down of this desperate dude.
For a night or two, but now I've got better things to do.
Here it is in the chorus.
Crying over you.
See how it comes right after the mention of crying over this guy? Granted, I mean, she already said that crying over him would be a waste of time, but the rhetorical punch there is still strong, and it's emphasized by that flat 7 chord.
Crying over you. I got better things to do.
Right, but it's not just chords. Better Things to Do has its share of more traditional blue notes as well, like right here. In the guitar intro. There are actually a lot of them in there. Listen again. But be ready, because the punchiest one is right at the beginning. Hear these notes at the beginning. One more time. That's almost John Deere Green-esque in its assertiveness, the key note being the second one. That's an A-flat, a blue note. The whole pattern there is F, A-flat, B-flat. So see, that's a variation on the more in-key F, A natural, B-flat, or 5-7-1, or the pentatonic, super common, F, G, B flat, that'd be 5-6-1. Here we have 5-7-1, F, A flat, B flat. A variation with significantly more dark, aggressive attitude. Naturally, you could also hear blue notes in Terry Clark's vocals, mostly flat thirds, the bluest of the blue notes. I'll just play a couple of examples.
Well, I've got better things to do. It's to see if I'm alright since you've been gone.
Hear the attitude in her vocals that those blue notes convey.
I've got better things to do.
So, lots and lots of blues in this song. And like I said, at least musically, these are by no means mopey blues. Rather, falling much more on the side of saying that this woman is truly liberated from this relationship. And loving it. But the final musical element I want to get to is this song's driving, anticipating rhythm. Listen to the drums on this song and notice how in front of the beat they are. This is a difficult concept to try to convey. It's nuanced, but listen to it.
Well, maybe that was true for a night or two, but now I've got better things to do.
Is credited drummer Eddie Byers sitting back and being tugged along by this song, or is he the one doing the pulling?
Wash my car in the rain, change my new guitar strings.
I argue that the drummer is driving this one, not the other way around. Hear that?
Do. Baby.
Hear how he's just ever so slightly ahead of the beat? Relentlessly propelling this song forward rhythmically. It's very much a rhythmic feel that's forward-looking, always about the next beat rather than the one that it's currently on.
I've got better things to do. Yeah.
And that is not the only way to do it, not at all. Our last two selections were excellent examples of a steady, unforced rhythmic style that stayed confidently right on top of the beat.
Maybe you're like
And we've had some that were laid back and draggy also. Vince Gill's Look at Us being a great example. So we see this forward-looking thing also in some of the anticipated beats, aka syncopations. Not coincidentally, the key place these show up is exactly on those bluesy A-flat chords we talked about a moment ago. Crying over you. I've got better things to do. Notice the punch provided not only by the out-of-key chord, but also by the out-of-time rhythm. And finally, we have to mention the rhythm on that final lyrically altered chorus, the huge backbeat. Check the air in my tires, straighten my stereo wires. All that adds up rhythmically, similarly to how it does harmonically, as a song full of forceful, in-your-face attitude with a side of emancipation and celebration. So much so that it makes me think I'm probably full of it with that tonal ambiguity stuff, but that sort of thing will happen when you listen to the same song over and over as many times as I do for the selections of this podcast. But still, well, I don't necessarily think the question of tone needs to have a single answer, and I'm perfectly happy, actually delighted, to have some lingering questions about emotional layers in this music. Because as this podcast has certainly taught me so far, this music is really, really good at conveying relatable emotion through specific details, and real-life emotion just isn't that straightforward. And that's what I'm hearing in Better Things to Do. If you're hearing something else, I'd love to hear from you. Search for Nashville Anthems on Instagram or Facebook, and there you'll find me. But for now, let's hang up on this conversation and find out what song we'll be looking at on the next episode of Nashville Anthems. To that end, I'm going to pull up Satellite Radio's 80s and 90s country station right now and see what's playing. We have a classic from Colin Ray. The song is Love Me. I look forward to getting that one with you in 2 weeks. In the meantime, don't forget to tell a friend about us. Spread the word. Thanks so much for listening. Bye now. I got to go. I think I hear the phone ringing.